بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب، صدق الله العظيم. معزز علماء الكرام، respected and beloved students and other brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, this year's Islamic Jalsa is now underway. From the beginning we make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes this Jalsa a means for the hidayat of the entire ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is normally labeled as an Islahi Jalsa. Islah meaning reformation, correcting one's actions. So Islah of evil traits need to take place. It can take place on different platforms. It can take place on a social platform, that our social interaction with one another should be corrected. On the economic platform, our trade and commerce should be brought in line with the dictates of Sharia. Similarly, Islahi Mu'asharat, referring to our social interaction with people outside, neighbors, friends, even non-Muslim acquaintances where we need to build some relationship or some necessity, not making them bosom friends. There too there are guidelines of Sharia. Similarly, as far as our ibadat are concerned, there too there is a lot left to be desired. We lacking in our ibadat. So Islah of ibadat also needs to be made. But today, because of the limited time, we cannot obviously encompass all the fields of Islah. The most important field of Islah, of paramount importance, is Islah of the nafs. That is to correct our nafs, to bring our carnal self under control, carnal desires under control. Basically meaning to expunge the nafs and the heart from evil traits and from spiritual maladies, and replacing them with sought after and sublime traits and ideals. Spiritual maladies, for example, such as pride, haughtiness, arrogance, self-conceitedness, egoism, jealousy, animosity, greed, miserliness. All these are evil traits. They need to be replaced with more sublime traits, such as humility, humbleness, sympathy, empathy for others, generosity. So this field of Islam is of paramount importance. But in this majlis, in this sitting, even this field is of paramount importance. I will not delve into in much detail. Islam and other platforms also need to take place, like I mentioned. On the economic platform, our mu'amalat, dealings with people. Social platform, interaction with one another. And so forth and so on. But in the limited time available, I wish to focus, first of all, my attention, and then the attention of the listeners, to one specific action that needs Islah. Many of us do not focus on this. This is such an important and integral part of our deen that drastic measures need to be taken for its reformation, transformation, correction, reorganization, revisitation. We also need to do some introspection, retrospection, in order to correct this evil. And what is that evil? Our behavior in the masajid, in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This needs drastic reformation. We need to revisit it time and again. The masjid is regarded as the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet we tend to desecrate the masjid. We show disrespect for the house of Allah. We show no consideration for the sanctity of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we do not realize the importance of paying sanctity to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the masjid. You look all over, disrespect of the masjid, desecration, ignoring the sanctity takes place. After the first salah, many people are engaged in the sunan and nawafil, yet you will find people in the lobby area, not only this masjid, most masajid, engaging in worldly talk, voices being raised, disturbing the concentration of the musallis. When nikahs also take place, after the nikah ceremony, there should be absolute silence in the house of Allah. If you want to greet the groom, which is not even a sunnah after the nikah, but people tend to do this, it has become customary, do it outside of the borders and the perimeter of the masjid. In the masjid when they meet one another, relatives meeting after many months, voices are raised, worldly talk takes place, pandemonium in the masjid. We look at our tablighi marasis also. Bayans take place, alhamdulillah. Then when tashkil commences, people should also focus towards the tashkil, make a concerted effort, intention, to give some time in the path of Allah. But when tashkil commences, people at the back begin to engage in talk. Voices are raised in the masjid, in the house of Allah, showing disregard for the sanctity of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether it is a masjid of a madrasa, public masjid, masjid of the tablighi marakis, generally voices are raised. Worldly talk takes place. In the house of Allah. In one hadith, Nabi Karim saw mentioned explicitly, إِيَّاكُمْ وَهَيْشَاكِ الْأَسْوَاقِ. That save yourself from the activities of the marketplace. Do not regard the masjid as a marketplace where voices are raised, people speak in loud tones, idle banter, worldly talk takes place. That is why in common parlance too, when people make a noise in the masjid, others that want to quieten them down, what do they say? They say this is not a fish market. Meaning the marketplace outside is where this type of noise normally takes place. In the masjid you should have absolute silence, observing the sanctity of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the aspect I wish to delve on. There is a lengthy hadith of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned that when my ummah will indulge in 15 activities, then unfavorable, adverse conditions will descend upon them. Calamities will come upon them. And if you look through these 15 activities mentioned by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will go through them briefly, no time to explain in detail, but the one aspect mentioned in the same hadith with regard to desecrating the house of Allah, disrespecting the house of Allah. So in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, إِذَا فَعَلَتْ أُمَّتِي خَمْسَةَ عَشْرَةَ خَصْلَةً حَلَّ بِهَا الْبَلَىٰ. When my ummah will indulge in 15 activities, then adverse conditions, calamities will come upon the ummah. A sahabi asked, وَمَا هُنَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, what are the 15 activities? So if you listen to them, I will run through them briefly. You will know that we are guilty of all these activities. When the sahabi asked, then Nabi Sallam elaborated, إِذَا كَانَ الْمَحْنَمُ دُوَلًا, when public funds will be treated as personal funds, funds collected from the public to run charitable institutes, to run masajid, madaris, they will be treated like personal funds. In other words, misappropriation, abuse of public funds will take place. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesied this, and we are seeing that happening today in many parts of the world. وَالْأَمَانَةُ مَغْنَمًا, when breach of trust will take place. وَالْزَكَاةُ مَغْرَمًا, when paying zakat will be considered to be a burden, like paying income tax, whereas it is an ibadat, only 2.5% annually. Whether you possess 10,000 rands or millions or billion, the percentage remains the same. Whereas with income tax, depending on your income threshold, you pay in accordance with that 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, even 60%. And here only 2.5%, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says people will find that to be a burden. And further Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions the fourth aspect, وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ زَوْجَتَهُ, a person will obey, be obedient to his wife. وَحَقَّ أُمَّهُ, and he will disobey his mother. At the expense of listening to the wife, he will ignore his mother. We do not deny the rights of the mother. No time to go into detail. But we go through these items one by one briefly. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَبَرَّ صَدِيقَهُ وَجَفَى أَبَاهُ, a person will show good conduct towards his friends, but he will behave rotten to his father. And then the aspect that we are going to discuss in detail, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَارْتَفَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتِ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, voices will be raised in the masajid. People will speak in loud tones with one another. And further Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْضَلَهُمْ, that people who are the least educated, illiterate people, will be appointed leaders of the community. And we see that happening in practically all governments of the world. People who do not deserve a certain post, totally ignorant, jahil, and put at the helm of affairs. This also Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prophesied. And further he says, وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ, that the person will be honored, respected, just out of fear of his mischief, that if we don't make salam to him, we don't greet to him, we don't greet him, he will harm us. In other words, criminality will be the order of the day. People will greet criminals just to avoid the harm. That also is taking place. Then Nabi Sallam says, وَشُرِبَتِ الْخُمُورِ, intoxicants will be taken, whether it is liquor and wine, whether it is substance abuse, these are all intoxicants. وَلُبِسَ الْحَرِيرِ, men will wear silken garments, whereas only women are permitted to wear silk, not men. وَتُخِذَتِ الْقَيْنَاتِ, people will hire ladies to sing for them. And these type of songs will entice people towards adultery, zina, fornication. That is taking place. Look here in the Muslim countries. Musical concerts. Naked, half-clad women put onto the stage to sing for the audience. This also prophecy, we see it materializing today. Wal ma'azif, people will learn and play musical instruments. And finally the 15th item, وَلَأَنَا آخِرُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا. The latter part of this ummah will curse the earlier predecessors. Like the Rawafi Shi'az, the way they curse the Sahaba Ikram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. That also is taking place. So among these 15 activities, Nabi Sallam mentions, وَرْتَفَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتِ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. That voices will be raised in the masajid, in the house of Allah. Disregard for the sanctity of the masjid. We do not understand and appreciate it. We do not understand and appreciate the status of the masajid. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Inna buyut Allah fil ard al masajid." That on the face of this earth, the houses of Allah are the masajid. So Allah refers to the masjid as His house. Obviously this does not mean that Allah Ta'ala needs a roof over His head, na'udhu billah. But when Allah Ta'ala refers to the masjid as His house, Allah is intimating, indicating that the masjid has a special affinity and attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the sense that in the masjid, special anwar and barakat, divine nur, blessings, descend upon the masjid. In that sense, it is referred to as the house of Allah, having a special attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the status of a masjid. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that inna al-masajid suqum min aswaq al-akhirah. That the masajid are a bazaar, marketplace, from among the marketplaces of the akhirat. Meaning, that just as you go to the bazaars of the world to acquire your worldly necessities, you come into the masjid to acquire your necessities of the akhirat. To gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To gain reward. To secure your maghfirat in the court of Allah. These are the items that the person wants to acquire for the akhirat. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man dakhalaha kana rayfan lillah." The person who enters the masjid becomes a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the status given to the person that comes into the masjid. He becomes a special guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are invited for a meal, hosted by someone, you are given sumptuous dishes to eat. When you leave the home, they give you a little gift also. So here too, we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what are we being hosted with? The hadith says, قُرَاهُ الْمَغْفِرَةُ وَتُحْفَتُهُ الْكَرَامَةُ. The person in the masjid will be hosted with pardon and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the gift he will take with him is a gift of honor, status, dignity, because he respected the house of Allah. Allah Ta'ala grants him honor and dignity. So this is the status of the masjid. Yet we tend to disrespect the masjid. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. When you walk through the gardens of Jannah, then graze therein. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu mutmain asked, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, what are the gardens of Jannah? Nabi Sallallahu replied, Al-Masajid. The masajid are the gardens of Jannah. So one Sahabi asked, وَمَا الرَّسْعُ, how does one graze in these gardens of Jannah? Nabi Sallallahu said, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Make the dhikr of Allah, recite the Quran in the masjid, engage in the remembrance of Allah. By doing that, you are grazing in the gardens of Jannah. For every Subhanallah you read, a tree is planted for you in Jannah. The hadith says, Jannah initially, every person's portion is a barren tract of land. The vegetation is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. These type of azkar. So populate your place in Jannah by grazing in these gardens of Jannah, by making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The status of the masjid can also be gauged by the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has encouraged us, those of us who are blessed with wealth, to put up a masjid, no matter how small that masjid may be, where there is a need in remote areas. Muslims, no masjid, put up a masjid. The hadith says, مَنْ بَنَى مَسْجِدًا لِلَّهِ بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The person who builds a masjid for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will build a home for him in Jannah. The hadith is on its place, but it begs the question, an academic type of question, that every person going to Jannah will get a house in Jannah, inshallah. He will get a palace in Jannah, a palatial home. So then what is the speciality of the person who builds the masjid in this world? He also gets a home. Another person that did not build a masjid, he also gets a home. So what is the difference? Al-hadithu yufassiru ba'adhu ba'adhan. One hadith generally elaborates on the meaning of another hadith. So here there is one hadith in which the elaboration is mentioned, that مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ مِثْلَهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And the person who builds a masjid for the pleasure of Allah, Allah builds something similar for him in Jannah. Which means that if a person builds a masjid in this world for the pleasure of Allah, even though it is a tiny masjid, accommodating 10 musallis only, it may be a makeshift hut, but the property is made waqaf as a masjid, then in this world, in the sight of Allah, that shack, that hut, that has been declared a masjid in the sight of Allah, is more precious than the most expensive of palatial homes in this world. So similarly in Jannah, the person that built a masjid in this world will be given a palace, a home, that will be far superior than the homes of those people who did not put up a masjid. So this explains the difference. That the person that put up a masjid will be given a far superior home in Jannah as well. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the hukuk, the rights of the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to that effect that إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ مَسْجِدَ فَلْيَرْكَ رَكَعْتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسَ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. When any of you enter the masjid, before he sits down, perform two rakat salah. This is known as tahiyyatul masjid, a greeting of the masjid. So provided it is not makruh time, permissible time to perform nafal, a person should try and come early to the masjid and perform this two rakat, tahiyyatul masjid. This is something, unfortunately, that today we are neglecting. I am the first person. We need to inculcate this habit of tahiyyatul masjid. So important it is that you may have seen in some Muslim countries, when you go to Makkah and Medina as well, that even while the Jummah khutbah is on, Musallis will come in, they will first perform the two rakat, tahiyyatul masjid, and then sit down to listen to the khutbah. According to the Ahnaf, these two rakats are nafal, optional, mustahab. But according to other Imams like Dawud Zahiri, it is wajib to perform the two rakats. Compulsory. And the compulsion is such that according to them, whether it is makruh time or not makruh time, whether the khutbah is on or not, these two rakats have to be necessarily performed. Even some Hanabila give great importance to this. So that is why at all times when they enter the masjid, they will perform these two rakats. Today we have even forgotten these two rakats. Many of us never heard the name Tahiyyatul Masjid. Once Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala came into the masjid. Nabi saw some majlis was taking place, rendering advices to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu came to the masjid and sat down to listen to the advices. Nabi saw him noticed and he asked him, Ya Abu Dharr, Inna lil masjid tahiyyatan wa tahiyyatuhu rak'atan faqum farka'huma. Faqala Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, faqumtu faraka'tuhuma. Nabi Karim said to Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, that, O Abu Dharr, you sit down without performing the two rakats, tahiyyatul masjid. There is a way of making salam to the masjid, greeting the masjid, and that greeting takes place in the form of two rakats. So stand up and perform the two rakats. So although it is preferable to perform it before sitting down, on immediate entry, but if a person forgot, you sat down, there is leeway, you can stand up and still perform it, as the hadith indicates. So we are neglecting the hukuk, the rights of the masajid. We ought to learn the sunnah of entering the masjid and leaving the masjid. I had the good fortune of studying in Hardoi. Maulana Abraham Haqsab Hardoi was given the label, title by his contemporaries, Muhiyyu Sunnah, the one who revived the Sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was so passionate about the Sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The five Sunnahs of entering the masjid and of leaving the masjid, He is to drill it into us, into the pupils, into all the boys. Like you read out door of the Quran, we have to read out door of this five sunnahs upon entry and five sunnahs when exiting. And he used to say, that man ja'a bil hasanati falu ashru amthaliha. If you do one good deed, you get a minimum of 10 rewards. So for one sunnah, 10 rewards. Five sunnahs entering the masjid, times 10, 50 rewards. Leaving the masjid, another five sunnahs, times 10, another 50 rewards. So 100 rewards when coming for each salah. Five namaz in a day, 500 rewards. So easy to acquire and to attain. We should inculcate the habit. Hazrat Maulana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi, sometimes he used to stand at the door of the masjid and tell us, the boys, the pupils in the madrasa, as you walk past me, say the sunnah audibly so that I can also hear. This in order to ingrain that into us. So what are the sunnahs? When entering the masjid, the first sunnah, say the name of Allah, Bismillah. It doesn't have to be in full. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just Bismillah. I enter the masjid in the name of Allah. And then to recite durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two sunnahs can be combined in short form. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Two sunnahs. The third sunnah. When you step into the masjid, by masjid we mean the area where namaz ul jamaat takes place, where i'tikaf takes place, within these glass doors, you step in, putting the right foot into the masjid first. And the fourth sunnah, to read the dua when entering the masjid, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik, Allah open the doors of your mercy for me. And the fifth sunnah, a good habit to develop, that Allah, as long as I remain in the masjid, within 10 minutes, half an hour, I am making the niyat of i'tikaf, nafal i'tikaf. So five sunnahs when entering the masjid. And five sunnahs when leaving the masjid. When you exit the masjid also, the first two sunnahs are the same. Bismillah and durood. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. And the third sunnah, when you step out of the masjid, put your left foot outside first. And then the right foot. And the fourth sunnah, recite the dua when leaving the masjid. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Going out to earn halal rozi. Allah, I beseech you to provide me with halal rozi. And the fifth sunnah, we need to put on our shoes. So we wear the right shoe first and then the left shoe. So in this way, 10 sunnahs with each salat. One thing very notable, the second sunnah, durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How important is this? Ulama even tell us, while we're driving through a town, you see the minaret, you see the masjid building. When you look at the masjid, then also ulama advise, recite durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the reason? That it was through the untiring efforts of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that deen came to us. That we see masajid in many, many towns where masjids never were built previously. Today we see in the northern suburbs where we could never have dreamt in the time of apartheid that masajid will come up there. But we see masajid there. So we read durood to show appreciation for the effort that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, that through his efforts, deen spread to the four corners of the globe. Wherever you look, you will find a masjid. So Nabi Sallam warns in one hadith about our showing less respect for the masjid, that يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَكُونُ حَدِيثُهُمْ فِي مَسَاجِدِهِمْ فِي أُمُورِ دُنْيَاهُمْ لَا تُجَالِسُهُمْ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِيهِمْ حَاجَةٌ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That a time will dawn upon people. That one of the favorite pastimes of people in the masjid will be to indulge in worldly conversation. And that is happening today. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَلَا تُجَالِسُهُمْ. Do not sit with such people. Why? فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ بِهِمْ حَاجَةٌ. Allah has no need for such people to come to the masjid, who show disrespect for his house, for the masjid, who desecrate the house of Allah. Masjid is a place to observe silence. In the time of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, a Bedouin came into the masjid. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was engaged in salah, maybe in some nafal salah, like tahiyatul masjid upon entry. The Bedouin had a bundle of some goods in his hand. He came to the masjid and he threw the bundle down with a loud bang. This disturbed the concentration of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. When Hazrat Umar completed his salah, he had a whip in his hand and he took the Bedouin to task, punished him. That is this how we show respect for the house of Allah? People engage in salah and you causing disturbance? That is why many buzurugs tell us, even when you leave the masjid, sometimes the shoe area is close to the area where musallis are performing salah. When you put your shoes down to wear them, do not throw your shoes down also with a bang. Put it down gently, softly, so as not to disturb musallis in the masjid. So important is the sanctity of the masjid. And so important that these people value their salah, that the concentration must not be diverted by these type of noises, where this is the passing sound, bundle of clothing falling onto the floor, shoes onto the ground. People engage in worldly conversation in the masjid, disturbing the salah of the musallis. In fact, even for a person passing in front of a musalli, that also is condemned, because that also causes distraction to the musalli. In one hadith, Nabi Sallam says to this effect, that if a person knew the gravity of the sin of crossing the path of the musalli, he would be prepared to wait even 40 years for the musalli to complete his salah before passing in front of him. Yet we, without batting an eyelid, we walk across the path of musallis, disturbing their salah. It was not Nabi Kareem Sallallahu's habit to make bad-dua for people. As far as possible, he would not curse people unless there was some real necessity. Because with regard to salah, Nabi Sallallahu said, قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي salah, that the coolness of my eyes is in salah, because here I am communicating with my cherisher, my nourisher, with my Rabb. So on one occasion, one Sahabi saw a person who was crippled, disabled. He needed the assistance of crutches, assistance of people to walk. So one Sahabi asked him, how did you end up in this problem? So he replied, Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was busy with salah and I happened to walk in front of him. It distracted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi communication with his nourisher, with his creator, that when he ended the salah, Nabi Sallallahu made bad dua. He cursed that person, that قَطَعَ عَلَيْنَا صَلَاتَنَا قَطَعَ عَلَيْهِ أَثَرَهُ, that he cut off my concentration in salah, may Allah cut off his legs.
and that one was accepted. He lost the use of his legs.
Some Sahaba, radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, were busy in Salah. A dog happened to come, was going to cross over.
So the Sahabi in Salah, he made dua in his heart that Allah stop the dog dead in his tracks. He didn't even articulate the dua in his heart, and the dog dropped down dead immediately.
When Nabi Sallam was leading the Salah, ended the Salah, he asked, who made this bad dua? Who cursed the dog? The Sahabi owned up.
So Nabi Sallam says, fortunately, you restricted your bad dua to this particular dog.
If you had made a dua, then Allah must destroy the entire species of dogs. Not a single dog would have remained on the face of this earth.
So that is how important our masajid are. The houses of Allah.
Hazrat Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, busy with Salah in his garden, performing Nafal Salah there. And a little bird, they somehow got over the wall of the garden, to the walled garden. Now it wanted to leave, but the foliage there, trees, vegetation, was so dense, the little bird could not find a way to leave the garden. Struggling, time and again, falling, flying, flapping its wings. And this caused distraction to Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, while engaged in Salah. He was the owner of that garden, owner of that fruit orchard. When he completed his Salah, he went out and made Nabi some witness. They have given this entire fruit orchard, the entire garden, in sadaqah for the pleasure of Allah. Because something that causes disturbance in my salah is not worth keeping in my possession. So he gave it away. This is how much they value their salah. And how they value the house of Allah. Sanctity of the house of Allah. Very, very important.
So that is why the ayat are recited in the very beginning. Allah Ta'ala also says, those who honor, revere, respect the symbols of Allah Ta'ala, meaning the symbols of the deen of Allah, فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. This is a sign that the person has taqwa in his heart.
Sha'air, plural of shi'ar. Shi'ar means the hallmark of any religion that is peculiar to that religion.
So the construction of the masjid, architectural nature of the masjid is such, it is peculiar to the Muslims.
When you see a masjid from a distance, the minaret, you get a sense of happiness that you are close to the house of Allah. You will read durood upon Nabi Karim Sallam, that through his efforts, today we have iman, we have masajid on our doorstep.
So although they are all also are the symbols, the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, laws of Allah, they are also the symbols of our deen. But these type of structures, they are also specific to the Muslims, a symbol of deen. So Allah Ta'ala says this is a sign of taqwa. The object of Islam is to create taqwa in the heart.
So this is one of the factors that will contribute towards bringing up the taqwa in the heart. We show reverence, respect, sanctity. We uphold of the house of Allah, of the masjid. Inshallah that will create taqwa in our heart. Allah give us all tawfiq to observe, maintain the sanctity of the house of Allah. Allah give us tawfiq of coming regular to the masjid, performing our 5-time daily salah with Jamaat in the masjid, make a habit of tahiyyatul masjid when you enter the masjid, observe silence, make niyat of i'tikaf, then inshallah you will see the beauty of our deen. Allah will illuminate our hearts with taqwa, remove all the evil traits, maladies, and inshallah
give us the tawfiq of replacing those maladies with sublime qualities. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.